Blog Talk Radio.
Happy weekend, dolls. This is your girl, Mina S.
And Vindy Rose.
And we're Chatty Chicks Radio. Back another week.
Yeah, it's the beginning of March Madness.
Woo-hoo!
This is the first day of March, the first episode, rather, of March Madness.
Yes.
And in honor of Women's History Month, we'll be doing an episode every Saturday as opposed to
yes.
every Saturday this month.
So you won't just have us every two Saturdays this month. You'll have us every single Saturday.
Yep, all five Saturdays for the month of March.
Yes.
So,
I hope everybody's week was a blessed one. Mine was a good week. How about yours?
Mine was great until the very end when I ended up sick.
Yes, and I have to stay back because
yes,
I don't want to get
please.
Sick.
It's not fun. I'm hot. I'm cold. But I'm here.
Yes, that's the most important thing.
Yeah,
here.
I didn't want to miss out on that. Well.
Yes. Well, let's just talk about what we're going to be discussing today.
Yeah, this particular episode, we're going to be talking about Claudette Colvin.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be one of the people we're honoring in honor of March Madness Women's History Month.
Mm-hmm.
She was actually one of the first,
very first,
to get arrested for refusing to give up her seat on the bus. That's for all of you who think it's Rosa Parks,
but it's not really
it's
her.
Not. We'll be discussing Claudette Colvin and bouncing off that discussion, talking about colorism
mm-hmm.
and whether or not it still exists
mm-hmm.
Among women.
Yes.
And if so, in what ways?
So let's begin, shall we? And just to let everybody know about our social media outlets, we are on Facebook, Chatty Chicks Radio, also on Google Plus, Chatty Chicks.
And we're on Twitter.
Yes.
Twitter.com/Chatty Chicks Radio. Everything's Chatty Chicks
Everything
Radio.
Is Chatty Chicks Radio.
It's nothing
except
special.
For Google Plus. Google is weird. It didn't want to put radio in. It's just Chatty Chicks. So if you're on Google Plus, we're Chatty Chicks. Okay.
But our Gmail is chattychicksradio@gmail.com.
Please email us, guys. We
yeah.
want to hear from you. We
if you have any ideas that you would like us to discuss for the show, you can do that, too.
Yes.
And
stories you want to share.
Yeah,
please.
We welcome that, all of that.
Yes. And we welcome callers. Yes. Please give us a call.
At 347-637-3984.
Yes, we want to hear from you.
And, just have a little patience with us because
we're still working out the kinks.
Yeah, we're still, like, virgins to this whole thing.
Yes.
And, in theory, if not in fact. So we're still getting used to all the technological little kinks and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But back to the topic at hand.
Yes, Miss Claudette Colvin.
Yes. I'm very excited to talk about Claudette Colvin because I actually didn't know who she was until I got in college.
And I didn't actually know about her until you introduced the topic to
yeah.
me.
And that's bittersweet because it was an amazing thing to learn about her, but it was also kind of bittersweet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why. Claudette Colvin... who on March 2nd, 1955, that's 9 months before Rosa refused to give up her seat,
right.
Was riding the bus on her way home from school in Montgomery and refused, when told by a white driver, to give up her seat to a white passenger. And she was subsequently arrested for that. And I think she infamously told the driver, I paid my fare.
Yeah, she said, I paid my fare and it's my
constitutional
right.
Right, to
mm-hmm.
sit there. And she actually went on to become one of the four plaintiffs in 1956's Browder versus Gale if you don't know what that is, that's the case which basically declared bus segregation unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
So she's extremely important.
Very important. And when I, you know, when I read up on her after my co-host told me about her, I mean, I was so upset because I felt like she should have got the recognition that she deserved. And I'm not saying nothing against Rosa Parks because I'm sure, you know, she was a big part in the civil rights movement. I'm not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
However, I just felt like this woman here, you know, I mean, she was a spitfire. Like I was telling, you know, Vindi, from what I read, she, you know, she didn't back down. You know, she just was like, I'm not, it's not right, it's not fair. I paid my fare like everybody else on this bus, and I'm not giving up my seat. I'm tired, too,
yeah.
You know. And when she got arrested, she got arrested and she was charged as assault, being, she violated the law, and she also was for assault.
That's what I didn't know.
Yeah, that's what I read in Wikipedia. And
I'm pretty sure that's a false charge. To solidify to you guys why this kind of ruffles our feathers a bit is because according to a lot of credible resources on civil rights history, the NAACP had considered taking on her case and sort of pivoting the fight against Montgomery bus segregation around this case, but ultimately decided not to, allegedly because of her age. But some suspect that it wasn't just her age, but her class,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that she was too radical,
mm-hmm.
the fact that she was also pregnant,
mm-hmm.
and her physical presentation.
Mm-hmm.
She was darker skin.
Kinky hair.
I wouldn't say coarse hair. I would just say
kinky.
You know.
Yeah, coarse. Kinky
regular,
hair.
Not regular, but because there is no typical Afro-American hair. But you know, I think
coarse
we get the impression.
Yeah, coarse.
Kinky.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Rosa Parks was sort of wrapped up in this more wholesome, quote unquote, white friendly package,
mm-hmm.
if you will. She wasn't. She was an adult. You know, for one thing.
42.
She was 42. Middle class.
Mm-hmm.
And she was also lighter in skin tone.
And
she had fair hair.
Fair hair.
And she kind of had this non-threatening image.
Yeah.
And that's really the main reasons why this bothers me,
mm.
and bothers Mina is that we try to reason that maybe they thought it was more pragmatic to do it this way. Maybe they thought that, well, we need white people not to feel threatened.
mm-hmm.
And Claudette is not that one.
Yeah, no. She was a spitfire.
Which today we admire in her.
Mm-hmm.
But then they might have just felt like, you know, this is not somebody we can get behind and expect to win with,
mm-hmm.
because she doesn't really
but
fit into this mold of being non-threatening or, you know.
But if you think about it, according to, you know, the court case, Broder and versus Gale, she was one of the people that was there along with four other women. And they fought for, you know, equal rights, you know, as far as, you know, taking the bus, you know, bus segregation, and they won.
Yeah, but that goes back to people like that doing the dirty work.
The people that you don't want to see,
the people that you don't feel like can be visible, you feel like they can't be the face of the movement, these are the people doing the dirty work.
Mm-hmm.
These are people doing the hard work to make real changes. And that's not to say that Rosa Parks didn't contribute.
We're not taking nothing
she
away
was a
from
part
her.
Of the NAACP. She did work. We know this.
Mm-hmm.
But
wait.
There are a lot of people who just sort of drifted to the wayside as far as their exposure
mm-hmm.
Goes and didn't get the recognition like Claudette Colvin. And we feel like, at least I feel like, and I'm that a lot of that has to do with colorism, with people taking issue with darker skin and class. These are not like realities that are independent of one another.
It's actually a lot of discrimination. It's not only colorism and class, but also age.
Yeah, there's a lot of ageism there.
Ageism as well.
Whereas today, people want to do whatever they can to forget older people.
Yeah.
Back then, it's more like, you know,
the
younger people
didn't
too
have
radical.
A voice, really. They were too radical.
They're too, mm-hmm. They're too challenging. They're too, you know,
yeah.
Brute.
Yeah.
They're too loud.
Mm-hmm.
And that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Absolutely. But we want to hear from you out there who might feel the way that we feel or might feel differently about what we're saying in regards to Claudette Colvin and Rosa Parks. Please give us a call. This is very important. 347-637-3984. You know, like I said, I mean, this lady, just because she was maybe of darker skin and she came from a poor neighborhood, that doesn't mean that this woman wasn't smart. This woman had straight A's. She was a straight A student. And she was also a part of the NAACP, but the youth part of the NAACP. And she was actively learning about the civil rights movement as well, you know, when this all took place with her.
Yeah, I think at the time they just probably didn't really trust young people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I laugh because, I mean, in my mind, I'm like, well, they can't. I mean, they can't if they really felt and truly believed that we have to do this in a very pacifist kind of way. We have to do this in a way that will sort of coddle white folks and try to ease them into it, try to make them comfortable with the transitions we're trying to make, trying to, you know.
Right.
And a lot of the young people were not having that. They were not having that. They were like, no, this has to happen today. It's been too long.
Yes,
we
should get it no more.
Yeah, we should not have been beg and plead with people. No, we're not playing any games. It's that, you know, I think that's the kind of energy that kind of catapulted the Black Power movement after that.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that young people had a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't deny that King and his contemporaries accomplished so much.
They did.
And the truth is we probably really did need for some people to feel comfortable and non-threatened.
Mm-hmm.
But once we were past that... You know, I mean,
Black Power.
Yes,
and I love it.
That's wonderful.
Yes,
that's wonderful because that ties in with what we're talking about with color
mm-hmm.
and its association with light being non-threatening, dark being threatening. And the Black Power movement was kind of like, you should feel threatened.
Right.
You should feel threatened about my blackness because it means that, you know, I'm not going to stand for the kind of treatment that, you know,
mm-hmm.
treat me with decency, treat me as a human being.
Yeah,
I believe, just like you.
Yeah. You know?
With the respect I deserve.
That's right. Yeah.
And so I think one of the questions that we want to explore, like, we understand the issues
mm-hmm.
that surrounded Claudette Colvin and her situation, and we want to know today, does
mm-hmm.
colorism still exist?
Mm-hmm.
Does it still exist
within women?
Yeah, among women.
Mm-hmm.
Are women still treated a certain way based on the color of their skin, based on the tone of their skin, even based
mm-hmm.
on things like that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure whether it is or it isn't, it's not going to be within the same context as Claudette Colvin.
Mm-hmm.
But what has changed? And maybe what are some of the things that stayed the same? What do you think?
Well, I think in a way, and I think it's starting now that it's starting to change a little bit where people are starting to say, hey,
brown girls are beautiful or gorgeous, you know, when now they want to kind of put them up there, you know, on an even keel. But, you know, I do believe there is still some colorism involved, and it's within us, within our community, and it's always been that way since the beginning of slavery. It's sad, you know what I mean?
By our community, what do you mean?
Meaning the black community.
Mm-hmm.
It still exists within us. You know, I don't know if that's going to ever go away,
mm-hmm.
the light, dark thing, you know?
I don't think
it will ever go away.
About it completely disappearing, I don't know. I think,
mm-hmm.
but I do agree that things have gotten better. People have, I wouldn't even say that they broadened their definition of beauty. I would think they just recognize that beauty literally does come in all shades.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we see that a lot in entertainment now.
Yeah, seeing more darker skinned
women in lead roles,
in
like Kerry Washington on Scandal.
And Gabrielle Union in being Mary Jane.
Right,
mm-hmm.
And Nicole Beharie on Sleepy Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
You also have, there's a lot of people.
It's a lot.
Who are just, you know, a lot of brown girls are winning right now. Lupita Nyong'o,
mm-hmm.
From 12 Years a Slave.
Oh, what's the girl Precious name?
Gabrielle Union.
Yes,
I love.
Yes.
You know, I'm a huge fan of Gabrielle Union. I love her. I think she's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, her.
Yes.
Her and Angela Bassett,
mm-hmm.
taking some very powerful roles on the last season of American Horror Story Coven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, it's like.
We can't deny it. Brown girls are definitely winning right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think some people have expressed concern that it's sort of a double-edged sword because. In some cases, they're being over-sexualized.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Particularly with Kerry Washington on Scandal, they feel like, you know, she's just the president's whore.
Right. And
you know,
and what's that girl's name in that that Tyler Perry show? Too Hot Something? Forgive me.
I don't know.
Honestly, I don't know. Out there. But she's like the main character in that show, and she's a brown girl as well. And when you see the commercial, she's in this fiery red.
Oh, yeah. Isn't she like a vixen on that show?
Right.
Like she's a. Like,
oversexed.
Okay, I think that's. Yeah, that,
you know what I mean?
That is a blatant thing.
It's a blatant, like. Yeah.
And with the fact that Tyler Perry, like an African American man, is behind that,
mm-hmm.
I can definitely see that as being problematic because. Frankly, I feel like Tyler Perry does that a lot. I think he demonizes success. Oh, I'm going to go there, yes.
Go ahead.
I think he does. I think he tends to demonize successful
mm-hmm.
black females in his films. Like, think about it.
Mm.
Sanaa Lathan in The Family That Prays.
The Family That Prays.
Like,
together.
Why mm-hmm. is she, like, she's, you know, successful and driven and, you know, wants things, but it's like she's demonized. Like, she's just completely evil because, you know, she wants more.
Mm-hmm.
Or the one that played his wife and Why Did I Get Married,
mm-hmm.
Who's supposed to be a successful lawyer, but somehow.
Why is she rigid?
Yeah, everything is her fault.
Right,
like, you know, in their relationship,
right.
In both parts of the movie, like
mm-hmm.
the first part and the second part, like she's just like, you know,
mm-hmm.
this selfish woman who
mm-hmm.
doesn't know how to cater her husband's needs, so.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, Tyler Perry's for another
That's another subject, another episode.
It is. We're not even, like,
but
you know.
What we're saying is that there is a little change there in regards to, I guess, entertainment and media and stuff like that with brown girls.
But with the bitter definitely comes with sweet.
Yes.
And I think I think we're more intimately aware with the condition for black females because we are black females.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that colorism exists within other groups. I know that's definitely, I have some friends of Indian descent who say that that's an issue.
And even in the Latin community, that's an issue as well, light, dark.
Yeah, well, the Latin community, well, that's a special thing because Latino isn't a race. Like, people be Latin and be of any race,
mm-hmm.
but there's still this issue.
So color lines, though.
Yeah, of treating, I guess what they would call
Morenitas
and Negritas mm-hmm. differently than lighter skinned
mm-hmm.
Latinas. I don't know if that's still an issue. I mean,
yeah,
it probably is.
It is. It's still an issue.
But I'm not an. We're not authorities on that.
No, we're not.
You know,
we don't claim to be. But it is an issue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's
not just in the African American community per se. It's any race, minority.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, definitely.
And who or what is perpetuating that? Like, are men doing this? Are institutions doing this? Are women ourselves? Are we doing this? I think that's a bigger question. Like, we know colorism still exists.
Mm-hmm.
Even with brown girls winning right now, we know that it's still an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But who's controlling this?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the driving force behind this, like, yes, you're lighter, so you're better.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're darker, so you're not as good. Who's behind that? And
I don't know. Well, if you ask me, I'm going to say
I'm
a white person, okay? But, you know, please, don't judge me. But I believe it stems all the way back from slavery time and where white people, you know, they were all the masters, as they say. You know, they had a group of us, some of us in the house, and the rest of us is in you know, in the field, and from what was said, that it was the darker skinned black people that was in the field and the fair, lighter skinned black people in the house. I think that's where it stems from. And then that overly sexualized, you know, factor that we were talking about with brown girls, I think it started from there as well, because we had a conversation about it earlier today,
mm-hmm.
you know, where there were some darker-skinned, you know, women that were in the house, but they were the masters.
Okay, yeah.
You know.
I'd rather not.
Concubines. We'll keep it, you know, keep it cute. So, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think to some degree concubines have to be willing, and I'm pretty sure.
Well,
you know,
I mean, I don't think they were willing, but they had no choice.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's an ugly history. I mean,
mm-hmm.
and we're not saying that white people were blaming you. No,
we're not pointing the finger, but...
We're not blaming you. We know you had nothing to do with slavery, so please don't send us messages. We understand that. We know you had nothing to do with that. It's just we think this is something that's happened, you know, over the centuries. We don't think it's anything that's been newly introduced within the last decade or even the last 100 years. You know, it does probably have a lot to do with how people were treated based on their skin color during
yeah.
slavery.
Yeah.
I mean, where else could the idea come from, you know, among a people that, you know,
yeah.
their skin color makes them unworthy.
Yeah.
It has to be introduced from someone else. But at that same token, we can also argue that because, you know, black people learned this and it's been ingrained in, you know, ingrained in them, that they're also, you know, perpetuating it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fact.
Because,
mm-hmm. I mean, we see that all the time with I use the entertainment industry because it's so accessible. It's
yeah.
like, it's easy to pluck out examples from that.
Mm-hmm.
You see it with, who was the guy who said something about he didn't like dark butt?
That
what?
Was his name, Lord, I forgot, because he's so not relevant at this point anymore. But it was a rapper.
Yeah, who was that? No, I think it's important.
What was
Youngberg.
Yeah. And Bird
said that.
Isn't the right word.
I think Lil Wayne said something about,
well, he like
Red.
Red Bone. He likes red.
Who is a dark skin man himself.
Right.
So, I mean,
well, yeah, I think also, yeah, the entertainment, definitely, industry, I think they push that agenda.
Yes.
Definitely.
They're probably
the driving force.
They're probably the main ones, like, as far
yeah.
as, like, currently, Mm-hmm. They're probably the main ones to blame for that.
Definitely. But
I don't watch videos, so I don't know if that whole issue of having lighter women in the videos still exists. I really do not watch videos.
Honestly, that's what I'm saying.
It's probably
it has changed
to a lesser
a little
extent.
Bit. It's like now, like I said, it's even. You know what I mean? But when we were coming up,
when I was actually watching videos.
Yeah, when we were watching
in the 90s,
videos.
There were a lot more fair-skinned
models.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's also a double-edged sword,
why?
Though, because I guess...
But I wanna, you know what I do want to say? Why I think there might be a difference as to why these videos are that way now is because we got women who are owning these agencies that send these models out.
Oh, that's an interesting thought.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because, I love Instagram, okay? And so I you know, it's not just the ghetto gram, but there are some interesting stuff that you find out, you know, on Instagram. And there's this one girl that I follow. I think her name is Money Lynn. That's her Instagram name. But she's a black woman, and she is a brown girl, and she owns an agency, you know, a modeling agency, who, you know, she sends them out, you know, for videos and stuff like that, and she has every color, different color and race, you know, in her agency.
But you know what it is? I think, I don't know if this is something inherent in us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's just because we've been socially trained differently than men.
Mm-hmm.
But I really feel this is because women tend to be, to an extent, more colorblind than men. They
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm.
Women tend to be able to look at another woman and say, that is a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
No matter what her skin tone is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do it all the time. Like, mm-hmm. I can look at... we were just talking about earlier, Adriana Lima
uh-huh.
is a beautiful, we were talking about how beautiful she is.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a
what is she?
Lighter skin, she's a Brazilian woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she might have African ancestry because a lot of Brazilians do, but she's really light and fair haired.
Mm-hmm.
And we've recognized her as being beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't look like us,
mm-mm.
but we still recognize beauty when we see it.
That's right.
Just like we look at Lupita Nyong'o.
Uh-huh.
What model?
That's her? Is that the model?
No, she's an actress from 12 Years a Slave. She's drop-dead gorgeous, and
mm-hmm.
she's a chocolate sister.
Yeah.
She's beautiful. But Alekwek, we can look at people like that,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and see
beauty.
Beauty,
yeah, absolutely.
And I think we're just a bit more open-minded in that way.
Wow,
this conversation
God.
Is so fantastic,
yep,
and I think
we
can really
going.
Build on that.
But we don't have that much time.
Yeah, we're running
really
out of time. Maybe we'll come back with a part two of this. I don't know if we'll do it next
week.
But
we
definitely
have to
a continuation
back on
of
we got to hear from you.
Yeah, we definitely want to hear from you and hear what
yes.
you have to say.
Yes.
That number is 347-637-3984.
Email us
at chattychicksradio@gmail.com. Follow us on twitter.com/chattychicksradio.
Facebook.com/chattychicksradio. Yes, and Google was the only one where we couldn't put radio.
Yeah, Google Plus.
Yes.
At this point, I don't even know what that's about.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and also your social media, separate individual social media. Have you set that up yet?
No. Google Plus. Chatty Chicks. I'm on it.
Yes, but individually you can catch me on vindyrose.tumblr.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have a blog, soulrestorationproject.wordpress.com. And as we said, we definitely want to hear from you.
Yes, some stories. Yes.
Yes. And we will leave you with this. A little message from our beloved Beyonce.
Yes, Beyonce.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
It really pisses me off that women don't get the same opportunities as men do, or money, for that matter. Because, let's face it, money gives men the power to run the show. It gives men the power to define our values and to define what's sexy and what's feminine. And that's bullshit. At the end of the day, it's not about equal rights. It's about how we think. We have to reshape our own perception of how we view ourselves.